Well, let's take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 6. How many of you have ever been in a relationship? Pretty much unanimous. People are interested in relationships, so much that we even read magazines about other people's relationships. I read once in Us magazine that Katy Perry is in a new relationship, and people are interested in that. Of course, the magazine should probably be called Them, because it said absolutely nothing about us. It always spoke about them. But we find relationships are important and interesting, and I think most people would like to have a relationship, and you always look forward to the next step of that relationship. But the question that we want to look at today is, where are you in your relationship with God? Or perhaps, where are we as the family of God? Are we blossoming and growing, or are we thwarting God's advances in the relationship? This morning I wanted to share on the blossoming relationship, because relationships blossom in stages. They generally start with an introduction. Someone introduces you to someone else, whether it's you go in for a job and someone comes up and says, this is Bill over here. He's your coworker. And so now you have a relationship as coworkers. Then as time goes by, maybe that relationship, because you work together and you start talking about different things, and maybe you tell him a little bit about your family, he tells you a little bit about his, and you start to develop what we would move to the next step, which would be developing a friendship with each other. You start talking about things outside of work. Maybe initially it's just the job and how this is done and how that is done, and maybe about this coworker or that coworker. But then it develops into something bigger. And we learn a little bit more about each other beyond our work. And at first we might introduce people or introduce each other to people like, this is my coworker Kate. But later on, it may become, this is my friend, Kate. And so we start introducing them because we've taken another step in our relationship. And often relationships grow to where it becomes even more intimate. We might go, this is my girlfriend, Kate, now, because we've really developed something there. It indicates that our relationship has advanced because we know more about each other than what would normally be shared among other people. We start developing sort of a private relationship, in the sense that, there's something developing between us, like with my wife. We share a lot of things together that no one else knows what we talk about, because that's part of our relationship. Not necessarily secretive or anything bad or anything like that, but we just have a relationship that that has grown before us. We've taken the next step. Man's relationship with God develops and blossoms in a very similar way. At first, mankind could only know God as Elohim, the creator. They would look at the earth, they would look at the sky, they'd see the stars, and they would see some of these other things, even their own bodies as they begin to examine them. The universe. And they know that all of this exists, this whole existence has a coherence to it. Then later on, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and some others, their relationship moved forward. As a matter of fact, it talks about in Exodus, we'll go there, we're in Exodus chapter 6, and in verse 2, it says, "And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That's Elohim El Shaddai. Just the Elohim is always in reference to the Creator. El Shaddai means the Almighty One who is able to supply your every need. And that's the relationship went from just looking at the universe and looking at the stars and looking at all these different things. It developed, they took the next step, which was to know God as more than just a creator, but now as one that has been supplying their need every time they had a need. Remember when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, his son, God said, hold on there. I've have a sacrifice for you, which God supplied and supplied the need. And it developed into a further relationship. If you put a ribbon here, I want to come back to this because I want to go a little further, but just to show you how this develops. And if you'll go to the New Testament, to the book of James, it's after the book of Hebrews, toward the back of your Bible, Hebrew James. And, oops, here I am. Okay. And then in chapter 2, in verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he, Abraham, was called the friend of God. So their relationship went from, I know there's a God out there because I know that something exists, something makes this whole thing cohere. The sun comes up every day, the moon sets, you know, all of these stars that I see in the sky, there's a pattern to them. All of these different things. I look at my body and I see everybody else has a body that's similar to mine. They all function the same. I know that there is some greater, you know, what we might call intelligent design, or Christians refer to it as that. And other people realize that there is something out there. Then Abraham got some instruction from God. He was supposed to go leave his family and so forth and move to the promise, to what would become the promised land. And because he believed God, because he trusted God and did that, they developed a friendship. He became the friend of God. So he's taken another step in his relationship with God. It's pretty nice, very interesting. then let's go back to Exodus chapter 6. And it says, and I appeared, in verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai, Elohim El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So there's another step in the relationship, but they hadn't quite gotten to that place yet. And Jehovah is always used in relationship to a covenant. An agreement, a covenant relationship. And God wanted the relationship to go the next step, which would be under the name of Jehovah, a covenant type of relationship. If you consider that Israel was to be the bride of Christ, and you understand in their culture they had arranged marriages, which, you know, we think, well, that's not really good. I'd rather pick out my own and all of this stuff. They were very happy with that type of arrangement and some of us have picked out our own, and we have been unhappy with the arrangement after a while. But the point,
give the responsibility to somebody else.
Yeah, but the point is that there is in the marriage relationship there is a covenant. And in regard to all of the children of Israel, which was supposed to be the bride of Christ, the coming Messiah, they had a covenant relationship. In other words, it's an arranged marriage. It's sort of, at this point, God wanted it to take another step to like an engagement. But it involved all of Israel. Because that's the bride. You know, all of Israel was the bride. So you have, first of all, man's relationship with God as the creator. Then we see that it's available because of what Abraham did to develop the friendship with God. And now that relationship with man takes another step, at least for the children of Israel, because God wanted an even more committed relationship, so to speak, with the children of Israel, which he did under Moses, beginning under Moses. So you could see how this relationship develops. Each move in the relationship, each advancement begins, though, with an introduction to that particular aspect. In other words, with the children of Israel, they needed to be introduced, because remember, when Moses was getting ready to go back to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out, he said to God, "And who am I supposed to tell him is sending me?" And God told him to tell them, "I am sending you," meaning, "I am what I am." And I love that because it always puts God in the present tense. I am. It's not I used to be, or someday I hope I'm going to become. But he said, "Tell me, I am, has sent you." And he wanted to develop this relationship to take the next step with all of the children of Israel as the bride of his son, the true Messiah that would come. So each one introduces you to a new aspect of it. Now let's go to 1 John. And 1 John is again in the New Testament toward the back of the book. And we'll see, because this is somewhat the ultimate relationship in its development. But each time there's an introduction as you by your free will, just like in a relationship, as you by your free will decide that I'm going to respond to my coworker Bill in a more friendlier way or in a more friendlier manner. He seems to be wanting to become my friend, and I then respond to it. Then we develop that friendship. If he wants to be my friend, but I don't, then I won't participate in that friendship. But he may continue it. But I have not taken that step, so I don't get the benefit of it. Well, it's the same thing. First, God was just this creator, but now you could begin to see the benefits Abraham because of the God's approach to him and Abraham's response. He believed God. He trusted God. He did what God told him to do. He became the friend of God, and he had a more enhanced relationship. Then under Moses, it was this engagement to his son, or the coming Messiah. So that developed into an even more enhanced relationship with him. But, you know, each step of it is still available to men. There are still men today who only see him as this something out there that keeps this whole thing cohered, something out there that had created all this stuff and keeps it in somewhat of an order. Other people look at it and say, I like that, but, you know, I really have more of a relationship with God. I talk to him daily, and I have this kind of a relationship with him. And then other people have a more committed relationship with God, which would be more like a covenant type of relationship. But now there's even a further step. And you have to determine for yourself, what type of relationship would I like to have with God Almighty? Do I want him just as God the Creator? Do I want him as El Shaddai, the Almighty, that could take care of my every need? Or do I want a covenant relationship where I have certain responsibilities toward him and he has responsibilities toward me? Or let's go for a step further. It tells us in 1 John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ came to introduce mankind to a most important relationship. And I want to look at 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 5. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Beautiful, beautiful wording there. Now, the word message, and that's important, the Greek word that's translated message means to decree a promise. It's a technical term. The Greeks used it as a technical term at law, as the delivery of a judgment. Now, you can have a judgment for you, or you can have a judgment against you. I remember playing Monopoly when I got my community chess. I landed on community chess, and I picked it up, and it said, "Judgment in your favor. Receive $50. You know, that was a good judgment. Not all judgments are bad. We tend to think, well, this person's judgmental, so then you're thinking every judgment he makes is more of a negative side. But there can be positive judgments. Mm-hmm. Remember, God judged Abraham as righteous. God judged Noah, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. So there are good judgments that are available. And this one here is, when you consider the testimony of the evidence, the testimony, like what Jesus Christ had to say about God, who knew God, you examine the evidence in the relationship. The only verdict that you'll reach is this one here. At least this is what Jesus Christ did. This is the message he's sending to us. This is the verdict that he reached. And it's also the verdict of the first century church, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you were to study the Greek, it's a double negative, no at all. Puts an extra emphasis on it, that in him there is not even a smidgen, not a hint, not even a smudge of darkness in God. He is pure light. Now, this goes back to verses 3 and 4, which I'd like to read at this point, and so you can see the flow of this. That, verse 3, "that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you," which is the same message that Jesus Christ declared to them. Right? John was one of the apostles, and Jesus declared the message to them, and now they're wanting to declare it to us. At least John is here. "We declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us." And the word fellowship means to fully share. "And truly," or indeed, "our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you for one purpose, that your joy may be empty," that you may be sorrowful. No, it's going to do something that's very wonderful, that your joy may be full. And that's the word plerao in the Greek. And I don't like to use a lot of terms because I don't want you to get confused. But it really means to be full to capacity. that there's room for nothing else. You know, if I fill this cup right to the brim, then there's really not room for anything else. If I pour anything else, it's going to run over to the sides, and we're going to finally lose the cup of coffee eventually. If I take a cup of coffee and I fill it to the brim and I keep putting water in, eventually what's going to happen? All the coffee would be out of it, and we just have water. But there's room for nothing else. That's what it means. That we should have fullness of joy in a fellowship, in a full sharing with God as a father. Because it tells us, here's where the change is, that our fellowship is with the Father. Now, man knew God as a creator, Elohim. He knew God as a supplier of all his need, El Shaddai, and in a friendship relationship. They knew God as a God of a covenant, Jehovah, in a relationship with Israel being engaged, the bride being engaged to the groom. Now here, Jesus Christ, it shows us another relationship that we can develop that, and that is God as a father, and this relationship with his son, or through his son, Jesus Christ. And the purpose that this is, they wanted this declared, is so that our joy could be full. Isn't that great? What a wonderful way to live. Now, I also want to say that this relationship for us, or for mankind now, has developed and advanced to the place where we can be sons of God to a Father who is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, how do we know? Well, let's look at the Gospel of John. The same man who had the blessing to write that epistle to us also had the blessing of writing the Gospel. And Gospel simply means good news regarding Jesus Christ. And in this Gospel of John in chapter 14... I'm almost there. There we go. And this is another discussion that he had with his disciples and apostles. And we'll start in verse 5. It says, Thomas saith unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if we want to take the next step in our relationship with God, even from a covenant relationship, we want to take the next step, then the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ. And then that leads us into a relationship with God as a Father. Now, I have different aspects to my life, but Christine was the only one that shared a relationship with me as a father. I've had friends. I have many friends, so I've enjoyed that type of relationship with a lot of different people. I have been a co-worker. I've enjoyed that type of relationship with other people. But Jesus, our daughter is the only one that really had a relationship with me as a father. So she could speak in regard to me as a father, how I am, what her father was all about, and so forth. Jesus Christ did the same thing. When we look at Jesus Christ, he shows us and tells us all about this father relationship. If you've only gone with me as far as a coworker, then you may not know the relationship that I have with God. And he wants to show us that relationship. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. If you show me the Father, Philip said, then I will be satisfied. I like what you're saying about this relationship. I like what you're teaching about this relationship. Now, show me the Father, and I will be satisfied. Well, what will it take you to be satisfied in developing your relationship to the Father in all of its fullness? Well, it says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath what?
Seen the Father.
Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So here's a wonderful thing. If we want to know God as a Father, what we need to do is focus in on Jesus Christ's life. And when we focus in on Jesus Christ's life, we will see what God as a Father is exactly like. Now, Jesus' message was that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Do we see darkness in Jesus Christ's life? Then there cannot be any darkness in God, because he who had seen me had seen the Father. People say that God gives us sicknesses and things like that to teach us. Show me a record in the scriptures where Jesus made anyone sick. See, now that's a good theory, perhaps, or something to ponder, but the answer to it will be in the Gospels. And if we don't see it in Jesus Christ's life, then it does not exist in God. Because he who hath seen me hath... Are you satisfied with that? Are you satisfied with what Jesus showed? Because that's exactly what the Father said. Philip said, show us, and that'll suffice us. He showed us. Does it suffice us? Are we satisfied with the testimony? See, there are a lot of great theories about God, or I don't know if they're great, but there's a lot of theories about God, a lot of religious ponderings and things regarding God. But the scriptures say that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And we have the evidence in the testimony of Jesus Christ's life, because he that saw Jesus, saw the Son, knew exactly what the Father was. I get into these things sometimes because when you look at Jesus Christ's life and the testimony of his life, what was his attitude? Did he ever treat people as if they were willful sinners? No. Then the Father doesn't treat people as a willful sinner. Oops. Okay. What Jesus did was he healed them. He delivered them. He took their burdens. He never criticized them. He lifted them up and brought them to the place where they could also believe and receive the promises of God. He loved them into loving and not demanded that they change. And it's hard for people to get past that, because the church focuses on hell and some of these other things to motivate us. But the greatest motivator is love. If God is love and he is the great motivator of all time, then it would seem that what should really be our motivation is, I love him. He loved me so much, I love him. How did a relationship in a marriage develop? Well, someone loved somebody, and the other person responded back to that love. And because of that, they took the next step, and they got married. You know, they got engaged, they get married, and so forth. Sometimes in those situations, someone quits, or some situations happen. With God, it is unlimited, unconditional. It's always there. It's really good. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So what is God about? And how advanced do you desire your relationship to blossom? Some stare into space and look at the stars. Others have a friendlier relationship. And yet others maintain a covenant relationship. If you do this, I won't do that, or I will do this. And then they don't do it anyways. You know, God, if you do this for me, I will never ask you for another thing again. How long does that last? About 30 seconds? Something. Oh, I forgot to add this to the list. Here he is introduced a father-son relationship. Now, a lot of people don't want God to be that good. In him is no darkness at all, because a lot of people want retribution for the hurts that they have suffered more than they want salvation or wholeness, salvation. But how much do you want to blossom? If you want to blossom in the full light of God's love, then we're going to have to respond back to that relationship the way that God is, that he is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we do, we'll finally end up in 1 John chapter 4. If you'll go back there. Probably should have had you put a ribbon in 1 John to help you a little bit. But. And this verse has been kind of a guidepost for me and it really awakened my heart to such great truths. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love God hath to us. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. You can pretty much go on any street, really in the world, but especially in the United States, and ask someone, do you know God loves you? You know what their response is going to be? Yes, sure. That's not it. It says we have known and believed God loves us. Believe the love that God has to us. When we live like men and women who not only know God loves us, but we believe God loves us, we will start to live like men and women who are loved by God. Then fears will go. Then worries will dissipate. Because not only do we have a God who is the creator, not only do we know him as El Shaddai, who is powerful and supplies our every need, not only will we have gone beyond a friendship relationship and even a covenant relationship with him, we will have a child-father relationship with him. And when we live like that, life takes on a whole new dynamic and a whole new change. If you're ready to really believe that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, and this God loves you, and you believe that in the depth of your heart, life will make a dynamic change, because God is love, and he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we, when? In this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love does what? Casts out fear, because fear has torment, and God certainly doesn't want us to be tormented. They believed that in the first century church. And when they believed that in the first century church, look at the things that took place. If you'll go to Acts chapter 5, and we'll close it with this verse. Verses in Acts chapter 5. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles, the gift ministries in operation, many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Why don't we see that as much today? Because we know God loves us, but we have not yet really believed that God loves us. But when we know it and believe it, look what takes place. "And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were," the what? Believers. They knew it and they believed it. Right. "Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and on couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them," meaning that they would get healed. "And there came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed." How many?
Everyone.
But it depends on the individual's desire on where you want to go with the relationship with him. We should, as mankind, go in their relationship with God, because mankind has already been introduced to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love and your great goodness. And Father, that we could understand more and more how much you love us, and then our response back to you with love, not because we're afraid of hell, but because we so love you and we love everything you stand for. We love everything that Jesus Christ showed us concerning you. Father, thank you for your call to us, and I thank you so much. Our hearts were meek enough to receive that call and want to love you back. Thank you, Father, for your kindness and love, and for the wonderful Father-Son relationship we may enjoy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.